Well, hello there. Welcome to an episode of the Expressive Mom Show, and I'm so glad to have you along today. And today, we're going to be talking about keeping your relationship and managing your relationships with your spouses while raising kids, because today, we have our own relationship expert, Janice Hoffman, and she's going to help us understand why, firstly, men and women think and behave the way they do, aside from the kid part. This is just the way it is, because in June of 1996, Dr. John Gray, the author of The Mars-Venus World, called Janice Hoffman, asking her to be trained as his first Mars-Venus facilitator. And since that day, Janice has facilitated hundreds of Mars-Venus workshops and Get Smart dating programs. So what made Janice unique was her relationship with Dr. John Gray, creator of the Mars-Venus World. She quickly became the training director for the Mars-Venus Institute, and over the years, Janice helped train over 550 Mars-Venus facilitators worldwide. As men are from Mars and women are from Venus rose to its ultimate success, Janice grew in demand as a professional speaker and relationship expert. So keeping the passion alive requires relationship skills. So Janice Hoffman teaches men and women how to keep the passion alive and have fun doing it. And today, Janice and I are going to be talking about how parents are going to be able to keep that spark alive while they're so busy with raising kids and just managing the household and dealing with all kinds of other responsibilities. So I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome Janice Hoffman. Hi, Janice.
Hi. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, thank you for being. Yeah, thank you for being a guest. So, I'd love to hear more about your background, other than what I've just mentioned.
Well, you know, my background started with A Course in Miracles, and from there, I started writing meditations for my Course in Miracles group. And then I hooked up with Dr. Jerry Jampolsky, who wrote a book called Love is Letting Go of Fear, and started facilitating an attitudinal healing group. So I was teaching meditation, had A Course in Miracles, actually ended up facilitating A Course in Miracles, as well as attitudinal healing. And when Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus came out, I thought, this is great, I'll start a Mars-Venus support group and add that to my little repertoire of support groups. And I called the number in the back of the book, and I told them my idea, and they said, oh, we don't have anything like that right now, and thanks for calling. And 2.5 years later, my phone rang. I always say it was God calling, because I don't even remember giving them my phone number. And they said, would you like to be trained by John Gray to be one of his first Mars-Venus facilitators? And so that started this whole passion. That was when I found my calling, really, and I found my passion, and I realized that educating people and teaching people about the differences between men and women actually is a positive in our life, because it helps us not take whoever, our partner or children's behavior personally, and when we can not take it personally, we can come from a totally different set of skills and attitude and behaviors that are way more positive, way more loving, and way more understanding.
Okay, very interesting.
And then in 2007, I wrote Relationship Rules, and it's been doing really well this last year. So it's 12 strategies for creating a love that lasts, and I've realized that people are great at falling in love but not staying in love.
Mm-hmm.
So there's 12 strategies for how to keep the passion alive, with a how-to for men and a how-to for women, so you don't have to just try and figure out what I'm talking about, but there's an actual, how do you actually apply this rule or this guideline so that it works.
Mm-hmm.
So that brings us to today.
that's great you mentioned that, because the fact of the matter is that you're right. When couples end up falling in love, if you will, and agree to spend their lives together and sign that paper, they don't realize what could possibly happen. You know, things change. Things can challenge them, and they could end up just falling out of love with one another because they're so inundated with responsibilities such as kids and just other things like paying the bills and all that. So this is why you're hearing of so many divorce rates go up and up and up. It's happening more and more because, you know, couples just call it quits because things just get difficult for them and they just don't see the need to stay together anymore, especially once, you know, they're so busy with the kids and not really having any time to themselves like they did before they had kids, before they got married.
Absolutely. And the truth of the matter is, you take all those issues back into the next relationship. So whether you stay in your marriage or you get divorced and go into another marriage, you still have the same issues in your, you know, to work out.
That's right.
Why not
That's
work
right.
them out with the you know, in the marriage that you're already in, if it's possible. Yeah. I mean, there's always circumstances that make divorce more feasible than staying together. There's abuse or addiction or something like that.
Yes.
But most marriages, it's just the lack of attraction, which, you know, kind of is naturally happens when you have children if you don't do something to maintain it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
and not by any fault of anybody. It's just, you know, kids take a lot of time and attention, and they come first many times. And
yes,
it's easy to have the relationship to be put on the back burner thinking it's only going to be there temporarily. And the next thing you know, you ask
mm-hmm.
a couple, was the last time you were intimate? Was the last time you had date night? And,
you know,
if they have to think about it that hard, it's been too long.
Oh, yes. Well, that is what happens because, you know, babysitting is not cheap. And there's also that added issue. Who do you trust, you know, especially if you don't have family or reliable family anyway that will watch the kids? That is
exactly.
Yeah, that's very difficult.
I mean, when I was married, it was either get a babysitter and go do something inexpensive,
mm-hmm.
but it was never you could go get a babysitter and go out and have a fancy dinner because the cost was, you know, they were almost
the
same.
That's right. Yeah, there's a lot of sacrifices you have to make, and that also can make things tough when it comes to maintaining your relationship because of all these sacrifices you make, you know? Like, it's not exactly a very romantic thought if you have to pay all this money for a babysitter and then you end up going on a date to McDonald's, you know?
Yeah, you know, and so many times, you know, we end up in single and we're dating and maybe we're dating somebody who's never had children. And
mm-hmm.
they don't understand, or maybe they do have children, but still there's the changes in the schedule at the last minute. So-and-so came down with a cold, or your ex has to travel at the last minute,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, there's always
yeah.
those last-minute changes in schedule that if you're not dating somebody that is understanding, that could be an issue. And so, you know, it isn't always, I heard somebody say one time, grass isn't greener on the other side. It still needs to be mowed. You know, so whichever side of the fence you're on, it's like you still have to mow your grass, whether you think it's greener or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever your
mm-hmm.
story is, you know, it still needs to be maintained. Any relationship you're in needs maintenance. And, you know, the whole point of my book is it could be a win-win. It doesn't have to feel like work, and it doesn't have to be a win-lose ever. So it's a lack of, you know, understanding that we don't know how to behave in relationships, and so we just behave however we behave, and that's why I'm so passionate about all this, because teaching just a few skills can turn a whole relationship around.
Yes, if you're willing to work at it. I mean, it is, like you said, it is very normal to just lose the attraction while you're so inundated with all these responsibilities, and I think it's just, I don't think it would be normal if you were just as in love as you were before you even got engaged. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I hear if that does happen, it's a huge exception, not the rule, because things change,
right.
You know, you change, your spouse changes, and you could be living.
And, you know, all the people out there who think people haven't made, you know, I mean, it was going back a few years, but I remember when Brad Pitt left Jennifer Aniston, I was like,
mm-hmm.
but she's gorgeous, and she has everything.
Yeah.
I mean, how could you leave someone who has everything? You know, if you don't do the work to maintain the attraction, if you don't change it up and you know, be thoughtful and do things for your partner that are thoughtful and caring, that fit their set of values, then it is easy for, you know, the eyes to wander and the passion to go away.
Yeah, no,
and
that's
people
very
say, well, I'm
true.
Just not in love with you anymore. It's like, you know, there's a song, and there's a line from a song, where do broken hearts go? Do they find their way home? You know, and it's all about
mm-hmm.
where does love go
mm-hmm.
when it dies? Does it die, or does it just take on a different form? So, you know, that's the whole thought for people to think about. Does love die, or does it just change form? And everybody has their own
mm-hmm.
thought about that, which is fine, but it's something to think about, you know, because we all loved, for those of people that are listening that are divorced or had a breakup, you know, you did love that person at one time. So what happened to the love?
Right.
You know, and
yeah, what happened to it?
I believe it can be rekindled easily, actually, with skills. So.
Yeah, and that's the thing. But I think a lot of people just aren't interested, and they'd rather just go their separate ways, especially if they have different wants down the road and aren't able to compromise it. You know, like they're not able to compromise, because that can happen too.
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, couples get together and they think, well, they both want kids, but maybe one wants them right away and the other one is, you know, 5-10 years down the road. They have lots of things they want to accomplish first. So you can even be on the same page with wanting kids, but not on the same timeline.
And yeah,
everybody
no,
knows,
absolutely.
You know, chemistry and timing is everything, and it's something you can't manufacture, you can't create on your own, and it's either there or it's not.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. No, you're right. That's
yeah,
absolutely
I mean,
true.
Times have you been with somebody and you look at them years later and you say, what did I ever see in them?
Yeah.
But at
oh,
the
yeah.
time, they
yeah.
were, you know, the bee's knees, so.
And
but,
another
you know,
thing
the,
that it, frequently. Oh, go ahead, sorry.
Go ahead.
No,
go
I was
going
to say that another thing. Another thing that frequently happens is that, you know, parents just end up raising their kids together even though they're miserable. And then once the kids leave, then they go their separate ways.
I see that all the time. It's the 20-year, 23-year mark. How long have you been married? 23 years. Stayed together for the kids.
Oh,
I mean, it's amazing that it's the most common year is the 23-year mark.
It's
and they stay together for the
mark.
Kids. They, you know, they're amicable. All you know, maybe they don't argue at all. In fact, they studies have shown that couples who divorced but never argued have a more damaging impact than the couples who did argue because kids don't know how to resolve arguments if they've never seen them.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, that's actually a good point.
Yeah, you know, somebody, especially the older generation, you know, we so want to pass down the values that are going away, that are fading into the woodwork that you just don't see anymore, like respect for each other and, you know, a handshake is the same as my word and my word means something and all these old values. And at the same time, we don't realize the power of teaching kids negotiation. So we come from a generation where it's black or white. It's my way or the highway. You do it because I said so. I'm the parent. That kind of thing. But really what we're teaching our kids is, okay, everything is black and white. Instead of, you know, when they come and say, can I stay up in that extra half an hour? And we, you know, we say, no, it's your bedtime's 8 o'clock. You know your bedtime's 8 o'clock. Well, if we let them negotiate, well, how about, you know, can I stay up till 8:15? Well, if they learn the power of negotiation and we get over ourselves as parents about having to have it a certain way and always having to, you know, not let them win because we're the parent in the house and all that kind of stuff, it's a powerful tool to be able to teach a child to negotiate, especially when they're teenagers, because it gives them a sense of empowerment so they don't feel the need to push away with four-letter words.
Right,
parents out there that have experienced that, you know, you want to hold on because they're your kid and you're, you know, they're going to go out in the world and you want to teach them everything they know. And at the same time, they're like, get away. Freedom's 1 year away. And then I don't have to take any, I don't have to follow your rules. And so there's that push-pull.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can let them negotiate their way through it, you have a better chance of getting along with your kids in their junior and senior years before they go off to college, if they go off to college or whenever they leave. You know, just teaching... And for parents out there, the power of letting your child negotiate rather than saying, no, you know the rules, and always adhering to those. I mean, there's times when you want to adhere to the rules, but when you can let them negotiate a 5 or 10 minute or, you know, another half an hour on the computer, and I mean, it gives them the power to then negotiate in life, which, you know, we want all our kids to have that ability. That's what's going to get them through life.
Yeah.
That's get them out of a parking ticket or a traffic ticket, you know, if you're going to negotiate.
Right,
so.
Well, these are good points, definitely. These are really, really good points. So that's why it is, I can see why it is important that if parents have differences to just not hold it in and just let it out. And just, you know, they think if they don't argue, then they're saving the kids. So it makes sense that it is better to argue. Now, it's not good for the environment. It's not, you know, not good for kids' environment to live in a, you know, live with parents that are just constantly fighting all the time. But the thing is, if something, you know, if they see that things get resolved until the next time, at least they'll know how to resolve arguments. So Yeah,
exactly. That's one of the rules of my book is no one to take a time out. So when you find yourself or your partner finds themselves, things are escalating, you know, the insults are starting to fly, maybe the names are coming out, all the things that you don't want to say because you probably will regret saying later and you can't take back. You know, let's take a time out and come back after the kids go to bed or you know, pick a time so that she knows that, you know, it's just not a hall pass to get out of, you know, whatever they're arguing about, but set a time to come back later. And when you do that, not only do the kids get to see how you resolve the argument, but you come back later, and especially when you have kids, your free time together is so precious and so minimal that you don't want to spend it mad at each other. So you come back and you're like, you know what, that was really stupid to argue about that. Let's just, you know, kiss and make up.
Yeah.
And so, you know,
you're
role modeling for their kids, your kids, anybody's kids, really. You role model that, you know, you can disagree. You have the right to disagree. You have the right to your own opinion. And when things get a little heated, you take a time out and schedule a time to come back. And, you know, then they learn that skill by default.
Right. Now, now that you mention, you know, again, that time is so precious when you're raising kids, you know, there's a lot of parents that have, you know, only typical kids that they're raising. So they have more freedom, if you will. But what about parents who have kids with special needs? How do you suggest they keep their marriage maintained? Because that, you know, raising a child with special needs is extremely time-consuming, you know, and that really can be more stressful.
I mean, mom really puts her needs on the back.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, you know, even brushing your teeth, you know, is a luxury.
Gaining all this weight and her hair is all a mess because it's awful. I know. I understand. So
it's very, very hard. And not only that, when you have a special needs child, my youngest son was born with a birth defect and the first few years of his life were pretty challenging. And, you know, that stress is processed different. Men and women process stress differently. So not only do you have the everyday stress of life, and the everyday stress of being married, and the everyday stress of being a parent, but now you have the added everyday stress of caring for a special needs child. On top of that, you have to deal with doctors, and don't get me started on that. And, you know, there's a lot of other things you have to deal with, and, you know, ER visits, whatever it may be. You have to negotiate all that. And so mom's under stress because this isn't what she had planned. She planned on having a healthy child. And dad feels helpless because he's the guy who's supposed to make it all better. He's, you know, he's the provider for the family. He's the protector for the family. He's the one that's supposed to, you know, make everything better when nobody else can. So he feels completely helpless, which is a horrible thing for a man's self-esteem, not to mention his hormones and his brain chemistry. And so he's feeling helpless. She needs his support. He doesn't have anything to offer. And then on top of that, you have what has to be done every single day. And some parents have special needs childs. I mean, they're doing nursing. You know, they're putting catheters and all kinds of stuff that they're doing. And NG tubes and, you know, I mean, way beyond the call of parenting. But they're doing it. And, you know, and my hat's off to them. And God bless them. Because
absolutely.
It's not an easy job.
I don't know what that's like, but I can imagine. I can only imagine. So.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and then add, you know, depending on what kind of doctor you have, if you don't have your doctor's support or they don't support what you're saying as a parent because they think they know your child better, then you have the added stress of that. Maybe your spouse thinks that the doctor's right and you don't. So, you know, then you have, you're going to take the doctor's. I mean, there's just so much stress involved in having a special needs child. And mom, more than anybody, is the one who needs a hug, you know, pat on the back, you know, you're doing such a great job. I don't know how you do all this and you know, keep it all together and make sure everybody's fed and they get to school and, you know, they have their medicine and whatever it is. I mean, it's amazing what women can do. We are amazing, amazing people, you know, and men know it too. I mean, they're like, we could never do what you do. It's like, yeah, sometimes we surprise ourselves even by how much we can actually, you know, do and survive, really. But just like kids need to negotiate with their parents, there's another way that parents can negotiate with each other in a way that will help them through these tough times, whether they have a special needs child or not, but especially if they do. And so what you can do is you can say, because usually as we have young kids especially, it's like the test of a marriage is surviving the 0 through 7 years of the child's life, because it's a hard time. They're very demanding. But you can say, you know, as the woman, you know, I'm feeling like I'm not getting what I need, and so here's three things you can do. You know, this is a short version, but here's three things I need from you, and would you pick one? So what I really need is you to hug me when you come in from work every night and give me a kiss before you go say hi to the kids, because that would make me feel special. Or, what, you know, I mean, it takes 15 seconds. What I really need from you is, you know, if you could rub my back or, you know, whatever it is. And three things that are on your top list of what you need from your partner. And then give him an opportunity to say, okay, here's three things. And, you know, he might need some time to think about it. So give him a chance to think about it. But here's three things that I would like from you that I feel would help fill my emotional tank, if you will, because I feel like I'm running on empty as well. And then you each pick one thing from each other's list. So, you know, it isn't a, you know, triple crown win, but you got one thing you needed. It's a start. He got one thing he needed. Now you both got one thing you needed. You're both feeling a little better, and you'd throw it out again. Here's three things. Here's three things. You know, and if you keep it really small, you know, like I need a vacation to Hawaii. No, like maybe I need a note before you left for work would be really nice. Things that let you know that you're special and you're cared for, because what kills passion is not feeling special. If I go with my partner to a party and he treats me the same way he treats every other woman in the room, hello, you know, I'm not them. So doing those things that make your partner feel special are really important.
That's important. But I also wanted to interject that I think, you know, nobody can prepare you for what it's like to have kids, you know, regardless of how they turn out, whether they're typical and healthy or they have special needs, nobody can prepare you. So one thing that, you know, if you're getting married, one thing you are going to have to understand is that your expectations are going to have to be adjusted. You know, the thing is, if your expectations are adjusted and you have, you know, and then you end up accepting less than what you'd like, then maybe, you know, it'll be easier to maintain your marriage, because that's the thing. You know, I think what happens is that, you know, people have still very high expectations. They think that things are going to be the same as they were before they got married. So I think, too, this is why things get bad. I mean, I don't know. What do you think?
Oh, unrealistic expectations are the number one reason that relationships fail.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and for your listeners, if they email you or me, I have a list of 25 questions to ask each other before you get married, and then another set for people if it's a second marriage, I'd be happy to share with them. They send in their email, I'll email them that. But, you know, we have unrealistic expectations. There's even people who have prenuptials who put in the prenup how many times a week they're going to have sex. Because maybe he's in a relationship where since they got married, he wants to make sure he has sex at least once a week. Otherwise, you know, he's got all these grounds for divorce because it's in the prenup. And, I mean, I can kind of understand it because I've talked to couples where, you know, they can't remember the last time they had sex. Or it's been three months or, you know, or whatever. And so, you know, I understand why people put that in there because they have needs and they want to make sure they're met, you know, whatever that need may be. And, but, yeah, unrealistic expectations are the biggest reason we think everything's going to be like it is in the beginning. There's people who can even become addicted to those honeymoon hormones and just relationship hop to keep that high going.
Oh, wow.
The high you get from the beginning of a relationship.
So really, you know what? I mean, the thing is, sometimes marriages just can't be saved, though. I mean, sometimes they just can't. I mean, forget about abuse or addictions. Sometimes marriages can't be saved, especially once the kids leave. Sometimes it happens, whereas, say, one spouse wants to totally move into a separate area and the other spouse just wants to stay where he or she is. And that, you know, you can't really compromise on that. So sometimes that just happens, you know? I mean, I think the important thing is just do your very best while you're raising your kids. And then, you know what, if it doesn't end up working after and you really, really have evaluated everything, then I guess that's time to just make that step then. Because the thing is, if you are unhappy in your marriage, you're just going to be resenting your spouse. And what good is that going to do to anybody? Sometimes marriage
doesn't do anything to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you know, our kids are always watching us, consciously,
mm-hmm.
unconsciously, however you want to look at it. They're always watching our behavior. They grow up to be mini-me's of us. So, you know, it is our responsibility as a parent to be a good role model. And that means sucking it up sometimes and not getting your way or not getting your way
absolutely.
Or not getting your way. I mean, you are role modeling for these kids. And,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
that's the most important thing that you can do is be a good role model. And I
that's
think,
right.
you know, the whole role model idea has faded away. I just want to bring it back because it is so important. They are watching, especially these teenagers. You know, I have a program
mm-hmm.
I teach in high schools, and one of the first things I say is, how many of you want to be like your parents when you grow up? You know, nobody raises their hand.
No.
How many
That's
of you have
true.
A good role model?
That is true.
Maybe half the room raises their hand, but they have one good role model in their life. Those aren't good numbers.
No,
so,
that is
you know,
not.
Think about being a good role model when you're parenting your children and, you know, find ways where you don't have to resent being a good role model.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you can still have your needs met.
Right.
It's
That's
so important
the trick.
That mom
Balance.
Takes care of mom because if you're not taking care of yourself, everybody knows this, you have nothing to give to your family, and yet we operate on empty all the time. I did it for
uh-huh.
many years. And I look back now and I can see where I didn't put myself first and how beneficial it would have been for everybody involved had I put myself first and taken 10 minutes to meditate or take a shower, you know, just taking that time for myself when I didn't think I had it. I really encourage all the mothers out there to just commit to 5 minutes a day or 10 minutes a day, make it small so it's doable, and find something you like to do and commit to that. Because you'll find that
you're right.
you know, that 5 minutes you want to turn into 10.
It's
or,
important.
You know, I mean, you'll make put it on your schedule, a calendar. You'll make time for it once you see the benefit that you get from it. And then you're role modeling for your daughter to take time for herself when she gets older. You know, it's great.
Right.
Everybody wins in that regard.
You're right, absolutely. Okay, unfortunately, we're just about to run out of time. So, Janice, I'd love for you to share where people can connect with you.
Oh, I'd love to hear from everybody and stay connected. They can go to my website, which is janicehoffman.com, and it's JaniceHoffman.com, and they can sign up for my newsletter and read my blog. I have lots of relationship advice there. All kinds of tips. If they want an autographed copy of my book, they can order it off my website for the same cost, or they can go to Amazon.com and order it there, or Kindle as well, and Relationship Rules, and just love to stay in touch.
All right. Wonderful.
Questions or feedback.
Thank you so much, Janice. It was such a pleasure having you on. Thank you again,
Thanks for having me.
Was very valuable. All right. Have a great one, everyone. Have a good weekend and enjoy your upcoming week. Take care. Bye for now.